Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I have a special guest calling in from Thunder Bay, France Thaler, and she is a human design parenting coach. Her mission is to heal the parent and the child will thrive. She guides her clients to challenge anything that takes away their freedom and makes them less than they could be. She has an innate gift at finding unconventional and practical solutions to parenting challenges that arise. She focuses on inner child healing, conscious parenting tools, human design, and more. What happens when you learn and embody these modalities is that you become confident and connected as a parent. You create an environment for your child and yourself to thrive in, and you tap into unconditional love and acceptance, and of course, deeper connection with yourself, your child, and your partner. France is also the number one Amazon best-selling author of her journal called Sparkle Time, and she is the host of the Intentional Parenting Podcast. So welcome, France. I'm so excited to dive in today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you also today.
Nice. I want to hear, can you tell me a little bit about the journal Sparkle Time?
Yeah, so it actually came about because this was just after I had graduated as a conscious parenting coach. And I was just finding myself sitting on the couch at the end of every day. And I was like, I didn't put the intentions that I wanted to in place, like the connection time that I wanted with my daughter. I felt like I was reacting too much. And, you know, just like the little things that bother us that we can sit and like feel shame or guilt about at the end of the day. I was like, this is not serving me. It's not serving her. It's not, it has to change. So I have that, like that thing, like the questions I ask myself all the time is like, what worked? What didn't work? What can I do different next time? So then I started prompting myself with some questions. I played around with different questions I could ask myself so that I would start putting the intentions that I had to connect with her into practice and stop reacting and whatnot. And I was inspired kind of like by the 5-minute journal. And then, yeah, so it just came about with that. And then it was so powerful that I actually ended up launching it or publishing it, I guess is the word.
Amazing. So I'll have to check that out. So is it something you do in the morning? And it sounds like it doesn't take too long, but it's just setting an intention, asking yourself questions. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. In the morning, it's like 2-3 minutes, if that. Like it's super short in the morning, a little bit longer at night, which is like intended after your child is sleeping. So you should, in theory, have a little bit more time to sit down and reflect to make sure, you know, what I want, like the values that I want to live by, am I living by them? And if not, what do I need to change really, right? So, yeah.
I love that. I have a mentor, Megan Walker. She says, the quality of our life is determined by the quality of our questions. And I don't know if she made that up or, you know, she heard that from somebody else, but I think that's so true. And it sounds like that's what you apply and use here. So we'll definitely have to check that out. I love journaling. And then I wanted to hear a little bit about your journey to becoming a conscious parenting coach, and then we'll kind of unpack what human design is, how we can apply it to our life and to parenting. But what brought you to where you are today?
Yeah, I feel like it was, you know, not one thing, but many small things. And I was looking back at my journey actually recently, and I was thinking, yeah, like I was always involved with kids, like always involved with kids. So I don't just have experience from, you know, being a mom to my daughter. But I babysat, like it was as a full-time job for probably 7 years or so growing up. And then I was like a coach on the local swim team. I taught swimming lessons. So I was always around kids. Then when I was 18, I had applied to, you know, go to school for actually dental assisting and dental hygiene. And one day I just woke up. I was like, nope, that's not for me. Went to my guidance counselor and I said, you know what? Like, I don't want to do any of this. I don't, I just want to be a mom. And he's like, no, you can't do that. Oh. You got to go to school, get good grades, get a good job, get married, you know, and then you can have kids. And I was like, okay. So obviously what I did. But like, I think I just always knew that I wanted to be a mom, like a mom, and like coaching people just comes so naturally to me. So my mom got me on my first Mother's Day. So Daphne would have been 3 months old. She got me a conscious parenting book by Dr. Shefali, who's my mentor. And I just fell in love with the work. And then everything just kind of snowballed from there. I got certified after I actually got separated. And then it just snowballed from there, discovering about human design and how that is a perfect match with conscious parenting, because conscious parenting is really parenting your child their way. However, to do that, you kind of have to ask really high quality questions, but also you have to put away your ego a lot. You have to like not listen to what society tells you. You have to put aside like how you were parented. And so it's really hard. But when you look at human design and you add that to your toolkit, then it becomes much easier because you have that blueprint of who your child is. So parenting them their way becomes much easier.
That's such a unique and refreshing approach, right? A lot of times there's this dogma that we're expected to follow and it's a one size fits all approach, but this is really tapping into kind of their personality, their characteristics, what kind of set them up for their life and using that. So before we get to human design, can you just talk a little bit more about conscious parenting for those of the listeners who aren't aware?
Yeah, I mean, in conscious parenting, there's two things. And for me, like really what I focus on, it's parenting your child their way, which I just mentioned. And then it's also about reparenting yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, the two are intertwined. You can go deep here, but I think most people will understand what that means. Let's see, like reparenting yourself, it can happen every single day. A big, big one that I think we all have to learn is, you know, we get triggered by our kids, which they're like the perfect people to come into this world to trigger us. Part of reparenting means that you take a step back, you look at those triggers, you release them, you allow yourself to feel the feelings, you give yourself the need that then you fulfill your own needs that weren't necessarily fulfilled when you were growing up. And then so that you can become, you know, more you. Mm-hmm. And then you can show up better for your child.
I love that. So it's obviously a process and it's a huge topic in and of itself, but it's, you know, sitting with the feelings, not doing, you know, not parenting the way that necessarily your parents parented you, because that's what you do. It's like making intentional decisions and really checking in with yourself. So I love that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then most people are probably, well, I wasn't familiar with human design, so I'm making assumptions, but what is human design and how do we use it?
So it's either people are or they're not at all. Either people know about human design or they don't at all.
That's right.
I'll go into the details, but I'll give like an overview of what it is in my mind. What human design is, it's the journey to remembering who you are. And it's like a blueprint of who you are. So have you ever heard of the Golden Buddha story?
I have not, no.
You have not. Okay. So I might butcher it a little bit. I try to say it as properly as possible, but essentially it's like this ancient story. A bunch of monks lived in like this village and they were coming to be and there was this big, massive statue of a golden Buddha. And they got word that they're, you know, a different troops from different village was coming to attack them. So they knew that this statue was super valuable. So they took like all bunch of stuff like mud, sticks, and all sorts of things to cover it up. And eventually they just forgot about it. So they left it there. I think it was for like hundreds of years. And one monk child was meditating at the base of it one day, and a little piece of it fell off, and he could see gold come through like the from that space where the chunk of dirt fell off. And he was like, oh my God, the Buddha's golden, the Buddha's golden. And everyone was like, what are you talking about? So they all went and they chipped away at all the stone that was covering it. And then boom, this Buddha was like this beautiful statue, super valuable, right? Because before they didn't think it was anything because it was just covered in dirt and mud and sticks and whatever. So that's kind of like what human design is to me. And it's like remembering who you are, because we are all born innately perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Innately who we are. And it's like these things, this conditioning from our parents, this conditioning from society, from all sorts of things that build up onto us. And then they just add like protective layers and masks that are not really who we are. So when we look at human design, which is a mix of a bunch of different things, it's a system, and it's like a fusion of ancient and modern sciences. It includes things like astrology, quantum physics, epigenetics, Kabbalah, I Ching, whatnot. Like, I'm not familiar with all these things on their own, but together they form the system that is known as human design. So it's not a personality test or anything like that. But if you take a step back and you look at, like, kind of, you mentioned that, like, earlier about like how we parent, the way we were parented, right? Like, our psychology and our personality, they shape us through our experiences, right? So our conditioning forms our behavior and the way that we respond to the world around us, right? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, we become the product of our lived experiences. So, I mean, there's many reasons why this is important, but one reason why this is so important is because one of the biggest complaints is like, I want to parent this way and my partner wants to parent a completely different way. We fight all the time about our parenting styles, how we should discipline our kids, and vice versa, right? Well, that happens because you're both a product of different experiences, right? And so you think things should be done based on what you've experienced in life, right? So if we look at both human design and conscious parenting, it's about remembering who we are. It's about unlearning this conditional survival responses and remember who we are, like free from our conditioning. So human design has kind of many, many different branches, but two things is like yourself, mm-hmm. known as like your true self. So that imprints is created into your body, into your being. And it's naturally who you are to the world, right? This energy is true and it's consistent and it's fixed and it's sustainable. And then there's another part that is also imprinted onto us, and it's referred as our not self. So this is who we are not. This is the parts that are most susceptible to external influences and to conditioning. So if we look at a human design chart, even if you don't understand anything about it, there'll be things that are colored in with different colors. Depends what website you look at, but there's red or yellow or brown or whatever. And then things that are completely left white. Well, that is what the white part is, what we look at as our non-self, which is where we can get most conditioned by or in. But it's also the places where we can absorb things from others to feel that energy, right? You know, like you walk into a room and you can feel the energy. Well, each of our, there's nine different centers in human design. And if those centers are white, you're super, super good at feeling other people's energy within that center. So there's an emotional center. So someone can, like, you know, watch a movie and just feel the people's emotions, right? Like, you're with your child and you just feel their emotions. Most likely you have like a white emotional center, and then so on and so forth. There's different themes and whatnot. So it really, like, yeah, it just gives you a blueprint of who you are in this world. And we'll talk about that probably a little bit further, but the reason I like it so much is because it's also known as the science of differentiation. Mm-hmm. So we all know that what works for one child doesn't work for another. Right. And I've had many moms who have twins that tell me the same thing. They're like, Fred, these people should be the same, but they're not, like, you know, what works for this one doesn't work for the other. And so they're like, everyone is different. So we have to, like, it just helps you take the guesswork out, and it gives you, like you say, that's that science of differentiation, that blueprint of who the person is, so you can best create an environment for them to thrive in.
Amazing. So it sounds like, yeah, that self, that true nature is the gold, like of the golden Buddha. And then the not self would be like the mud and all the imprints that have been placed on you, you know, over your lifetime. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a roughly, but the not self is not always bad, if that makes
okay.
sense. Like there's a high frequency and a low frequency. And like I say, like the not self is just, there's different ways to look at it. But definitely if you're not aware of it, you can take on a lot of that conditioning, which you're correct about saying that. And then the other ways is just like, those are just the gifts that you don't need to fulfill your purpose in this lifetime. Right. And you can use it as a way to just absorb people's, like to just reflect on, you can pick up people's energy, right? So it just gives you it can give you so much insight on what other people are feeling, thinking, and, you know, yeah.
Great. Yeah. So with human design then, so as a parent, is it getting kind of like my reading or analysis done as well as my child's? And then what happens next?
Yeah, I would do both. I mean, because it's kind of like, well, for me, like it's always it starts with you, it starts with the parent, right? So you can't, you know, teach your child the ABCs if you don't know them yourself. You can't teach your child how to live according to their design if you don't know anything about your own. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. I definitely always recommend both. Some people like to just start with themselves and then go on to their child. Some people like to do it all together. It just depends on, you know, your own preferences.
Yeah. So this is something, so you would figure out someone's, I guess, is it called their type, their human design type, by figuring out or finding out their, you know, date of birth? Like how do you kind of figure it out? And is it called the human design type, or I'm such a newbie?
Yeah, that's okay. I think it's called the human design chart.
Chart, yeah.
And then within your chart, there's a bunch of things, and type is one of the information that it gives you. Where would you find that? There's a bunch of different websites online that you can do it. My favorite one is mybodygraph.com.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you put in your time of birth, location of birth. So like example, Toronto, Ontario, and then time. So did I say time? Time,
time, place, right, location. Yeah, time, location,
time,
yeah.
Place, and date.
Date. Okay.
I was missing something. Date of birth. And then it pops up your chart. So if you don't have the time, most people is the one that they could be missing, like especially the older generation, then I do everything you possibly can to get it, because even if you fluctuate like, you know, a few hours, it could be a little bit of a different chart, or it could be a completely different chart. It all depends on that. So yeah, the more accurate you can be, the better.
Amazing. It's so fascinating. I'm definitely going to have to look and see what my chart says about me, and then how can I use that to apply it to my parenting? And what information do you get, and how does it help us parent?
Yeah, so you get a bunch of information. And just to go back here for a second, so you get the chart, most likely you'll be like, okay, now what? So you won't understand it. So you'll kind of like, you know, some people will look online to try to get information, but the whole point of human design is that it's an experience. So you're not meant to like change your whole life overnight and, you know, to just embody everything that it says in the chart. It's an experience. You start to bring in more and more things into your life that, you know, bring you in alignment, and let go of things that don't. And so it's not something you have to like master right away. So that's why most people will do like a human design reading. Which is you sit down with someone and they give you all the information about your chart, or like a lot of information about your chart. I find that to be super overwhelming and not super effective. And I talk to people that have had readings in the past and they're like, yeah, I don't remember. I remember like two things and that's all I implemented. And then the rest was just not. So I've done it a little bit differently, and I can talk about that later, but you can use it in your life in many different ways. You know, for me, like it's impacted me significantly, and learning it, I don't know, I was in like my mid to late 20s, and it was like, huh, all these things that I've been feeling were true for me my whole life, but people made me feel wrong for feeling this way.
Wow.
Right there, right there. They're all true. And I know exactly why now. Like, you know what I mean? So like, you knew these things, but you're just, we live in a society where, like you said, there's just kind of like, well, there's more now, but for the most part, there's like one mainstream way of thinking. And if you don't fit that mold, then, you know, you're often made to feel wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like, wow, this is, I've been feeling this way for 15 years and now I know why. And it, you know, I'm not going to live based on what my dad wants me to do or based on what society wants me to do anymore. I'm just going to listen to this because I've ignored it for long enough, you know?
Amazing. And then it sounds like, yeah, you've helped a lot of clients kind of interpret their chart. Yeah, I want to hear how you do it differently. And then if you have any examples of how someone has used it to, you know, enhance their life or make changes or just, you know, feel better in the day to day.
Yeah, for sure. So I do. So I kind of created a course, but it's like a build your own human design reading. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I love those books. But when I was a kid, create your own ending or choose your own adventure, I guess it was called.
Yeah. So because I just find that like I said, like you sit down with someone and then you're like, she said all this information. Maybe they'll record it. Maybe they won't. But it's still a lot of information. Then you have to go through an hour or an hour and a half recording to get the information you want, right? So what I've done is like you said, there's different things. There's the energy type. There's the strategy. There's the authority. There's the 9 different centers, which could be colored in or not so defined or open. And then there's, you know, all sorts of other things. Okay, the profile and whatnot. So the way I've done it is I've kind of threw it all, especially because I work with families, right? If you just work with one person and you just, for example, work with like females in business, then, you know, it's easier because they only have one chart they're looking at. But if you work with families, like there's a lot of charts and it adds up in the price of the consumer, you know, to get everyone's chart read. So with this is like, you have all the information, you have all the information for the types and they're all broken down in different lessons. So, you know, projectors is in one lesson, generators in a different lesson and so on and so forth. All the strategies are broken down in different lessons, all the profiles, all the authorities, all the centers. So then you just go, you look up your chart and then you go and you're like, okay, so I'm a projector and my profile is 3-5 and my strategy is, you know, to wait for the invitation. So then you just kind of look and listen, look at the PDFs and listen to the audios for yours. So you're still getting a human design reading, but you're like doing it yourself. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. Yeah. And then you have all the information at your fingertips that you can look and use for other family members too.
Exactly. So then you go, okay, my daughter, well, I'm going to use my example, also a projector, her profile's 3-6. So I'm going to look up her information. And then, you know, whatever, look up all her different centers. And then, like I said, there's PDFs, you can print them. And if you're like, oh, she said something about her profile, I don't remember. Boom, you just go straight to the profile audio, listen to it. You don't have to go through everything else. It's much more effective and efficient for both myself and my clients. Yeah.
I love that. So a projector is one of the, there's 4 types. Is that correct?
I don't know. Some people say 4, some people say 5, but something
to give people just a taste kind of what are the types then and what does that look like?
Yeah. So there's projector, reflector, manifester, which those 3 are considered non-energy types. Mm-hmm. And then there's the generator and the manifesting generator, which is considered the energy type.
Cool.
Which just means they have more centers, that they have a specific center that is defined, that they have more sustainable energy, right? So you see people that are like, well, for example, my father is go, 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 go. He can work 20 hours a day, come home, sleep. I'm not like that, you know? Go ahead with your question.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So those are the 4 types. Can you just give us an idea of like a quality or characteristic of each? I think the name's kind of, you know, self-evident, but just like a little summary of each of the types, if that's possible. That's too big of an ask. No problem.
No, that's okay. Well, the projectors, like I said, they're non-energy types. And they are considered to be like the wise old soul. So they can see a lot of things that other people can't see. They know, like, if you, and there's so many projectors being born right now, it's crazy. If you have conversations with a projector child, you're just like, "Oof, this child is like wise beyond their age." And that's kind of like the summary or the overview very, very briefly of what the projector is. Their strategy, which is how they're meant to like maneuver themselves through life, is to wait for the invitation, right? So say like you're in a classroom, you wouldn't be like just spilling out the answer. You'd be like, raise your hand and wait to be recognized and invited into like, you know, sharing your answer kind of thing. Excuse me. The reflector is also a non-energy type. They actually have none of their centers defined. So they pick up a lot. They're like here to kind of like reflect back their environment. Okay. So they're like, they can read the room really, really well. They can pick up on everybody's energy really well. So there's, and that's only 1% of the population. So super, super rare. And the manifestor is here to inform. The manifestor, you know, like in network marketing, either you've done it or maybe you, I know you have probably know someone who's done network marketing.
Yeah.
And we're taught in network marketing to like cold message people, right? Mm-hmm. And manifestor is technically the only type that can get away with that because of the way their energy is. People like, they just want to follow manifestors, right? Manifestors, okay. They have an idea and they're here to like inform people, this is what I'm doing. You want to join or you don't, it's fine, but this is what I'm doing, right? So it's like the only energy that is not super off-putting in like a cold messaging thing. And like, okay, there's more to it than that, but just like a brief example.
Yeah, just to give us a taste of kind of the treats.
Yeah. And then the generators and the Mani Gens, they're just here. So the generator is considered like a pure generator. And then like the manifesting generators is like a subtype of the generator. They're here to respond and they're just here to work. They're here to follow what lights them up, what fascinates them, and to just do it. Yeah. They're here to build things. So in like an ideal world, the projector kind of sees from a bird's eye view, like what needs to happen next, you know, and then you can swoop in the reflector in there and kind of say like, okay, like how's everybody feel about this and make sure that everything's kind of in line. The manifestor would take their vision, run with it. Generators and Mani Gens would be there to like do the heavy lifting,
do the bulk of the work.
And
so you could design a whole team or group around that. And is that something you try to do or?
I don't have a huge team around me, but definitely something that I would look at if I were to like hire someone. I would not hire another projector because like, you know, I would definitely hire like, you know, for someone to help me, let's say for administrative work, I'd definitely always pick a generator or Mani Gen to just help me like get things done.
So fascinating. And do you know, are there like businesses or companies or CEOs looking at this when, you know, or HR when they're doing the hiring process? Like how is human design being applied on a larger scale? If it is at this point, I don't know how, you know, aware
it definitely is. Like I don't know of major corporations that do that, but I know of many different like 6, 7, and 8-figure businesses, like business coaches that use human design to hire their staff and, you know, their team to help them with, you know, marketing or advertising or whatever. Yeah. Cause they've done like the trial and error. I know one of my mentors, she's like, yeah, at some point I had like 3 projectors and like she was a projector and she had 3 projectors and 1 generator on her team and was like wondering why nothing was getting done. So she like revamped everything. And then, yeah, she uses it as part of her hiring process, gets to know their design. And then, yeah.
So I love that. And so it sounds like, my understanding from what I've heard, but correct me if I'm wrong, is that so based on, you know, the alignment of the stars, the time and the place that we're born, it influences our type. And then are we always the same type throughout our life?
Yes. The type doesn't change. The The type doesn't change. The only thing that changes is when you look at the profile, but that also doesn't change. It's just like, I don't know, it's kind of too, maybe a little bit too deep, but there's six different profile lines. So 1 to 6. The only thing that changes is the sixth profile line, which it just plays different roles as your goal, as you're growing through life, right? So from like up to 30, it has a different theme. And then from 30 to 50, it has a different theme. And then 50 on, it has a different theme.
And again, that's like ages, years, 50 years of age or yes, 30 years yes. of age. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yes. And those are like roughly like, you know, it could be 27, you know, it doesn't really matter. But other than that, no, everything is really fixed. Just exactly based on like where you were born, where the stars were, the time of day or night or whatever. And, the date. Yeah.
So and what if a projector wants to be a manifester? Do they just need to find someone that is a manifester?
Well, yeah, there's different ways that you can play around it. I mean, wanting to be something you're not is not going to serve you really well in this world. You know what I mean?
True.
There's like a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be a projector because the projector is known to like really only be built to work like 3 to 5 hours a day. Okay. So a lot of people are like, and the generators is like, they could work for 10, 15 hours, and, you know, they still have lots of energy. So a lot of people, when they find out they're generators and then they learn about projectors, is they want to be projectors. But there's like unique gifts for each person in this world. There's unique gifts for every energy type. So it's just a matter of like, okay, accepting this is who I am and learning how you can make the tweaks to be more aligned so that things just flow better in your life.
No, that makes total sense. Yeah. So knowing who you are and using your strengths and working with, you know, I don't want to say weaknesses or challenges, but being aware of them is the best approach as opposed to like faking that you're a different type or
Because like what happens is like, because what happens, so like, for example, like I don't know my dad's human design because I can't find his time of birth. So, but I've guessed, like I threw in like 10 different times in the computer and it threw back a bunch of charts. So I have a very like bare, like very educated guess that he is a generator. And that's how I was born. It was like, go, go, go. My whole life was nonstop, do, do, do. And I was honestly, from age 10 to my mid 20s, I was in almost constant burnout. So, you know, if you find who you are, there's no point in trying to be somebody else because you're just not aligned. And then you see it through symptoms, right, that you experience in your life.
It sounds like that awareness then is definitely the first step, right? So we're not expecting from our kids to, you know, move through life the way that we do. So it's recognizing that. And then how else can we apply this knowledge to like our parenting styles?
Yeah. So, lots of different ways. And again, you can go super deep or a little bit more superficial, right? Some people are just like, oh, I just want to learn like their energy type. So kind of have an idea and then I'm good. But like, so I'll use my daughter, for example, it's just the easiest, example to use, but she is a projector, right? So projectors, you know, they need a lot of alone time. So, and then she also, so if you look at the centers, her root center is not defined, right? So she doesn't do well under pressure. So for me to pack her schedule with a bunch of extracurricular activities is not serving her well. I'm creating an environment for her to be, I don't know, what's the opposite of thrive? Like complete burnout and not succeed in,
shut
you know?
Down or,
So I just use that super mindfully. So I'm not against extracurricular activities, but like really conscious of when I sign her up for them because I know it's too much for her. And it's kind of easy for me because I'm also a projector. So I knew like growing up, I did some extracurricular activity. But my favorite things to do is just to be home and craft, just so creative, always crafting. And I just noticed that my daughter gravitates to that naturally herself, right? She could spend hours just coloring or playing with her beads or with her magnetiles or whatever it is, right? And she's totally content. Same with like, you know, the whole root being open. so she doesn't do well under pressure. One of our biggest things was before I discovered Human Design, it'd be like, okay, Daphne, it's time to go, I don't know, let's just say to like the chiropractor or something, right? Or to maybe an extracurricular activity. And I'd like, I have a defined root center. Hers is open. Okay. So very different there. I perform under pressure. Okay. So if you tell me like you have 1 week to do something, I'm going to wait till like day six to finish it, to do it. Right. She is going to start on day one.
Okay. Right? Interesting. Yeah.
So when it comes to, for example, leaving the door, like now I know that like I will not, so example, on a school day, I'm not going to get her to pack her lunch in the morning and to prepare her backpack and to choose her clothes, to brush her teeth and to have breakfast. Like it's too much for her. There's too much pressure in a short period. She is going to have a meltdown. I just mm-hmm. know it at this point, right? So until I knew Human Design, I didn't really know how to fix it, right? I had the conscious parenting tools, but I, you know, didn't know which one to choose because I had to just try all of them, right? But then when I learned that this was the case, then I was able to apply whatever strategies or tools I needed to based on who she is, right? So that science of differentiation. So then, yeah, like we get things ready the night before and there's very, very like only the necessary things that she has to do in the morning. And that way there's no freak out and we get to school on time if we are able to.
I love it. Yeah. You've right? done versus, the best setup as much yeah. as you can. Yeah.
Versus if I have a child who has a defined route, well, trying to like beg her to get stuff ready the night before, she's just going to be like, nah, not interested. You're just going to be butting heads all the time, right? Because she performs under pressure. She needs that pressure and then she'll just get her stuff together really, really quick. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes total sense. Yeah, that's so yeah. fascinating. I know lately Stuart's been picking out, instead of wearing pajamas, he wears his clean clothes that he's going to wear to school the next day to bed, which I love too, because that's one less step in the morning. But yeah, he does like to take his time and not have to do too much in the morning. So maybe that's some of that tendency coming through. And we know to try to pack his bag or his lunch the night before too, or get, you know, he needs to pick out a story or a toy to bring to school. We do that the day before. So yeah, it's interesting how you can pick up on some of these things without knowing all about it. But I definitely want to dive in more and learn about his and my types and strategies and, you know, if I have I'm an energy type or not. So fascinating. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, we know our children well, right? With or without Human Design, we still are the ones that know our children the most, right? It's just like, sometimes we have these, like you just said, like we have these knowing and we've created a life around it. But like when there's pressure from the outside world, we're not really, we may or may not stick to our gun. It's like, well, I really don't think that's best for my child. And I'm doing it because of this pressure. But when for me anyways, it's like, you know what? No, I'm not caving into the pressure because I know that if I would be doing this, I'd be throwing myself and my daughter in an environment that she will not thrive in. So you know, maybe once in a blue moon, I'll make the exception. But like, as a general rule, it just helps me stay firm to always, or as much as possible, creating the environment that she can thrive in.
Amazing. Yeah, it's validating. It sounds like your intuition mm-hmm. and your knowledge about what's right for you and your child and letting all of the rest of it fall to the wayside. So yeah. powerful. Is there anything else you wanted people to know about Human Design and then applying it to parenting?
Yeah. So I'll give you a few more examples. So, and it just comes to, there's a few places where it's really, really powerful. You know, especially when it comes to sports and extracurricular activities and whatnot, right? So for example, like hockey or swimming, I'll just use hockey because here in Canada, Ontario, it's a very popular activity. And, you know, like, oh, I want to do like, I want to put my child in hockey because I did hockey, or I didn't succeed in hockey and I want my child to succeed, or I succeeded and I also want them to succeed. And like all these things that like, we're not really thinking about our kid. We're thinking about us, right? Like when we look at that, it's like, okay, I could put my kid in hockey, but I don't think it's an environment for her to thrive in. Maybe I'll try it and maybe she'll like it and then we can keep going. But like, where is that desire coming from? Right. And mm-hmm. even with eating, a lot of people will just start with eating. So when you look at Human Design, there's two different types. So there's passive or active digestion. So within those types, there's five or six in each category. Okay. So there's five or six types within passive and then five or six within active. So I have a passive digestion and my daughter has a consecutive active digestion. So she can eat every 2 hours and like that is her jam and that's how she thrives. If I tried to do that, I would not thrive at all. Mm-hmm. I'd be constantly tired because my body is just not meant to digest that much food. So there's a lot of things in parenting and this starts really, really young, which I think like is really important to note that like we have these silly rules in society that's like, you know, I just want you to try it. Just try it. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Like that two bite rule, right? Or like finish everything on your plate or eat at the same time that everybody else eats or don't snack. It's not good for you. Those are all things that we're just throwing up in the air based on what we believe in, based on how we were raised or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But when we look at their digestion type, it actually tells us so much about our children. And then like all the stuff like fighting with your child because they're a picky eater, thinking that they need all these other things. But you know what? Your child's not designed that way. So now like you understand it, you're aware of it, you can move on. Like that battle is off the table, right? So even just looking at that little piece, it helps parents significantly.
I didn't know it could be applied to eating types. Yes. Looking at like sports, probably commitment and drive and all of that. So it I'm sure. Yeah, and it goes so much deeper than what we've talked about. But I think you've given our listeners a great taste of what it can do to support your life and your kids' lives.
Mm-hmm. And then if you go deeper, which falls into inner child healing and conscious parenting, it's like there's things that I look at with my clients and that I've been diving really deep in lately is things like enmeshment. So not letting, you know, other people in your family do things that are right for them and like, you know, having enmeshed values and whatever, enmeshment in their life and then differentiation and boundaries. I find those three things are super, super important. And every adult that does inner child healing has some work to do around all three of those things. But when you implement human design into your life and into your family, you're able to lessen the amount of enmeshment that you create for your child. You're able to increase the amount of differentiation that you're creating for your child. Like I said, like it, just for eating, for example, it's a simple thing, but it's such a big thing, right? And you know, for my daughter, like we have different types. I eat a completely different schedule than her. The only meal we usually have at the same time is dinner. Other than that, no other meals do we have together. Just because we're both allowing each other to thrive in our own, you know, ways. And then boundaries, it's the same thing. Like it's easier to say no to things or to say yes to things when you have that chart to validate how you're feeling. You know what I mean? So It's like you're giving your child a kickstart in so many things, getting to understand themselves more and healthy boundaries and having being able to differentiate yourself from your tribe is so important to having healthy relationships, you know, in life. And human design helps you do that. So,
Yeah, it sounds like it's a really important way to allow your child to be who they are, allow, you know, yourself to be the parent you want to be and tune into your child and not just follow these dogmas, if you will. And then, you know, having an easier day, less arguments, less fights at transitions and bedtime. And so, and then even easier mealtimes or times that you're eating or they're eating. So I love it. This is amazing. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. And those are just three small examples or like three or four small examples, but it can go very deep if you desire it to go.
So fascinating. Yes. So this is just a taste of human design. So definitely reach out to France and she can help you choose your own adventure, if you will, and get all the information you need to discover your chart and interpret it as well as your family members if you want to do that as well. So anything that you wanted to add, France, before we move to the next part of the episode?
No, I think that's pretty much everything for now. Yeah.
Great. And how can people connect with you and follow you?
Yeah, so I guess the two places I hang out the most is Instagram. And I'm sure my handle will be in the show notes. And then also on my podcast, I release a weekly podcast that is filled with lots of wisdom from, you know, my experience and all the knowledge that I have on human design and inner child healing and conscious parenting and all that. So yeah.
Definitely everybody check it out. So it's the Intentional Parenting Podcast, and we'll definitely link to your Instagram handle in the show notes. Can you remind our listeners what the handle is?
Yeah, well, for both, I'm actually in the middle of a rebranding. So right now it's the Intentional Parenting Podcast, but it might be something else. Sure. But I'm sure like it'll be the added thing in the show notes. And then right now my handle on Instagram is the HD Parenting Coach. So Amazing. The Human Design Parenting Coach, yeah.
Great. So we'll share all that information. Thank you. And is there anything that you're offering? Any sort of, I guess you have this ongoing, obviously, program. What are some offerings you have for potential clients?
Yeah. So right now, as I was preparing for this podcast, I don't do this for every podcast, but this one, I was like, you know what? I feel like offering her listeners a promo. So I actually will be sending you a 30% promo code for my human design, like my core build your own human design reading, essentially. So I'll be sending that your way. You're welcome. And then, then I'm also working on, which is something I've never done before, but I'm very excited about. It's a free email course. So it's going to be in a span of 30 days, and it's 30 days to increase patience and connection and to break free of your cycle of reactivity. So it's going to be very powerful. I'm working on it right now. So I'm sure by the time we release this episode, it'll be out. So they can come find me on Instagram or even look in the show notes to get a link for this free email course.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So there's the email course. So we'll link to that information and the 30% off as well. So thank you for offering that to our listeners. So I'm sure we're going to have a bunch of people take you up on that after listening to this episode. So now we'll move to the next part of the podcast. So we're going to share our super mom moments, our mama mess ups, and our mama must have. So I can go first if you want. But my super mom moment. So unfortunately, we had an episode of food poisoning go through our house. But my super mom moment is that I still mustered up some energy to entertain and play with Stuart, even if it was just playing checkers on the couch, or, you know, I was the standing goalie in the backyard while he took shots on me, although I really just wanted to sit down. So my super mom moment, it's hard, you know, when you're a parent, you can't fully rest 100% when you're sick. But I didn't push myself too hard, but I still gave him some of my attention. So that's my super mom moment. And Franz, what's your super mom moment?
I'm glad everyone's okay, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, me too.
You know what? I'm going to use what happened this morning. So I co-parent. I don't think I mentioned that, but I co-parent. And I picked up my daughter from being with her dad for 5 days, and she often comes back and has just a load of emotions that she needs to release. And those moments are hard, and I never know how big or how little those days are, or how much challenge is going to be on those days. Anyways, but this morning it was like, it was a hard one, and I just did it with so much grace, so much ease, so much compassion, so much love. And by the end of it, by like the end of the 4 or 5 hours, she was just completely herself again. So, you know, and then I thought back of like, wow, I've gone really far, because, you know, 3 years ago, I would cry all day with her and I'd be like wanting to give up on parenting because it was just so bloody hard. So it, you know, results to all the inner child healing and the self-care that I've been doing consistently for those years. Yeah.
Great. You're walking the talk. And that definitely is a super mom moment, even just recognizing that there's going to be these emotions to unload and then providing the space for that with all your training. So definitely a huge super mom moment. And I know we're both doing the best we can, but you know, we can have some mess ups. So I'll share mine. My mess up is related to the food poisoning, not realizing that the culprit of the food poisoning was these chicken hot dogs that I actually had at several different times. So I got better and then I got sick again. So My husband got it, Stuart got it, and I got it all at different times, which is interesting. But I got it twice. So now we figure we've discovered the source, these organic chicken hot dogs. They weren't expired, but I just didn't put two and two together. I just thought it was a virus. But when it happened, you know, after I got better a few days later, I was like, wait a minute, something's going on here. So that was my mess up. So we had to cancel Stuart's sleepover with his cousins this weekend. And then Pete and I also did not get our date night, which was actually going to be, you know, from 4 o'clock Saturday to 11 o'clock Sunday morning while Stuart was at that sleepover. So, oh, we'll just have to reschedule. But France, I know you're doing, I know it was a mess, but I know you're doing a great job, but can you think of a mess up recently?
Yeah. And for me, this mess up was like cumulative. So, you know, over the hard winter being at home, and then we all got sick and anyways, all that stuff. But I realized that I let toys accumulate in our house way too much. So what made me realize this is that my rule has always been like to keep things super simple. I've always asked people like, just please, like no gifts, it's too much. And I knew the reason why. Because when her environment is too cluttered, she just gets like antsy, she can concentrate less, she's just like always wanting, like she's always bored, doesn't know what to play with and all those things. Anyways, so recently she asked to get a hamster, and I was like, whoa, like if you want a hamster, you got to declutter like your room like 150%, like it's just way too much stuff in there. And it was like the after effect that made me realize that I had messed up, right? So it was like after she decluttered, we spent like 3 days in there. And we sold a lot of things, donated a lot of things, and it was a completely different feeling in her room. And since then, she's playing with toys she hasn't touched in like a year and all sorts of things. So it was like, oh, I messed up. I let, you know, all these gifts slide and not stick to my rule of one in, one out. And I could feel it in her behavior and like, you know, lack of creativity and things like that. So I was like, okay, not letting that happen again.
You're not alone. We've all, I think, been there. And it was especially over the pandemic, it was harder to get rid of things. So yeah. I love that you, yeah, just got rid of it. And it's amazing that they do rediscover some of the toys they had kind of set aside. So we've been chipping away at it, but yeah, it's easy to let it accumulate. We've definitely gone through phases where it's just like too overwhelming. So thank you for sharing. And now we'll share a mama must have. So for me, it's just simple food. Like scrambled eggs and instant pot broth with rice and applesauce. So that's what I've been thriving on the last few days. So definitely probably the instant pot is a savior too, to make the broth, to make the rice. I have been buying applesauce because I was feeling pretty off, but now I know I can make it in the instant pot too. So that's definitely my mama must have that I brought up a while ago, but you know, it's still in rotation and still in use. And what's your mama must have, France?
Yeah, super simple as well, but a backpack. I probably bring a backpack everywhere I go. And obviously it depends with your child, but my daughter has that consecutive appetite. So if I leave the house and I don't have my backpack with water or food or even like something to occupy her with, it doesn't go very well. So I always have like a backpack or something when I leave the door with food and water and activities for her. Yeah.
I hear. Yeah. I think Stuart's a consecutive eater as well. An active consecutive eater, I think is what you called it. So yeah, the backpack is definitely key, a really good mama must have. So thanks again, France. We'll definitely share all the information in the show notes, and we'll have to have you back on because this is a topic we can unpack even more, but this was a great introduction and even a deep dive into human design and conscious parenting. And then I'll share with what we have coming up, Dr. Tony and I. So Dr. Tony's next hypnobirthing session for expecting parents looking to decrease fear and anxiety to support their natural instincts around labor and birth is happening this fall. So you can join her at www.hypnobirthingcalgary.com/register. I have a meetup group called Wild Women Adventures Toronto, and there's going to be a 5-day cold shower challenge starting in a few weeks. So visit Wild Women Adventures Toronto on Meetup to get all the information. And then I have the Wild Collective. I'm launching a group in the fall of 2022. So you can get on the wait list, www.wildcollectivetoronto.com. I already have spots taken for the fall. So you definitely want to be the first in the know. And for our listeners, you can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And you can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. So please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So thanks again, Franz, and everybody stay safe and healthy. Until next time.
Bye.